The important thing to know is, no, size doesn't matter.
Thank gosh.
You're listening to the Help Me With HIPAA podcast, where HIPAA and humor collide to make learning fun. Your delightful hosts are Donna Grindle and David Sims. Relax. HIPAA help is on the way.
Welcome to the Help Me With HIPAA podcast. My name is David Sims of HIPAA for MSPs and Security First IT. Joining me is Donna Grindle of Cardin.
Hello, David.
Hello, Donna.
It's going to be one of those, eh?
Never know.
You're not going to be hopping in and out of things.
Okay? I don't know. There's no telling. So I just got back from a conference, IT conference. So,
and Nerdvana.
They was talking about security. Kind of funny.
Since you are security first IT.
Yeah, I know.
It's good that you're going to those things.
It's funny because I walk up to one vendor. And so his opener, you know, vendors are standing around. They're trying to, you know, sell you, right?
Right.
So I walk up there and I'm looking at his, you know, whatever he's offering. And he goes, so tell me, what do you do? And I'm like, would you guess IT?
I'm at an IT conference.
I was like, that's just, okay. Why would you ask that question? Anyway.
He was less than friendly after that, huh?
Yeah, you know, I think at that point he realized what he was dealing with.
Hey, you're not buying anything. Move along.
Yeah. So anyway, you actually have some stuff coming up.
Well,
is your summer break over?
Well, yeah, well, no. But yes, but maybe, you know, there's a lot that I've been doing that's, you know, it's private events where people are inviting their prospects and their clients and then they bring me in. And so I don't publicize those. And
you pop out of a cake and.
Yeah, that's it. I'm popping out of a cake going, are you ready for some HIPAA? That's it. But. Yeah, there's a couple now that we can put out there for upcoming. The format-approved healthcare cybersecurity officer webinar and workshop. We're doing another live one of those September 12th, 13th, and then 19th and 20th. Mm-hmm. If you use Grindle20, you get a 20% discount in my name.
What if I do Grindle 50? Can I get a 50% discount?
No, they'll just laugh at you.
Just come out with a mistake. Here's worth a try.
So, yeah. If you do, they'll say, oh, it's that guy. So don't let him in. Donna said never let him in the class. But, and you know, I've got like two other things going on in October that are the private things, and then I get a request from the Georgia Pediatric Practice Administrators group to speak to their state conference on October the 18th. So we're doing that. It's one of those things where, come on, it's pediatrics. It's just fun to do pediatrics. And so I'm going to speak with them. So I'm going to have something like every week in October. Every single week, because we're adding on something else in October.
Yeah.
You want to talk about it?
We are doing another live HIPAA boot camp.
Yes. While we were conducting the last one, people were sending us requests for when is the next one. And we were so exhausted. It's like, really?
I know. It's like, what? It's like the whole time. When's the next boot camp? When's the next boot camp? I was like, what? What happened? Why is everybody asking deer in the boot camp when the next one is? But anyway, so we had to like scramble. Let's go ahead and get this thing planned.
Yeah, we had been playing with it. And so we had agreed that when David was here, we would talk to everybody. And so it really is a good thing that we talked about it kind of towards the middle instead of at the end because we were so tired.
Yeah.
But, it is going to happen October 24th and 25th. We're doing one more this year.
Yay.
And before people even ask, we do not know when the next one will be, but sometime in 2019.
It won't be this year. I can guarantee you that.
It probably the earliest will be like March-ish is my guess. That's when we did one this year. Because we just can't fit them in after this. I mean, it was scary enough to do it in October because, at least for my business, the fourth quarter is assessment season.
Yeah.
You know, and we're already getting piles of assessment requests, and we continue to optimize our ability to do these in a cost-effective way so that we can help people get them done. However, we are taking 2 days to do boot camp.
Yeah.
So mark the date, and we don't have, well, as we're recording this, we don't have it live yet so that you can even sign up. But hopefully it
will be. By the time you hear it.
By the time you hear this, it will be, and there will be, I don't think we're changing the pricing, so we'll have the super early bird pricing run for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, go look at thehippabootcamp.com or helpmewithhippa.com/bootcamp. Feel free to send us any questions to contact@helpmewithhippa.com. And look forward to seeing you there. All of you people who said, I can't make it in July because of blah, here it is. You got one more chance. And after that, you know, say we may have 2019. A costume party.
It'd be right before Halloween. We'll have a costume party.
Our Halloween episode will come out on that Friday. So,
yeah.
And David gets so excited. Yes, there'll be a costume party probably.
Awesome. I'll be dressed up like, I don't know. Somebody said in this past one, they were like, you seriously need to have people wearing fatigues.
I know. I did my khakis, and then I even forgot to say it on the first day. Look, I'm wearing my dress khakis. But needless to say, it will be great fun, and we're getting some awesome feedback from the folks that were there. They drank the Kool-Aid, and they're very excited about what they're doing. So come join us the next time, October 24th and 25th. And David and I are working on some more explainer videos. If you want more details, they should be there by then too. That's giving ourselves a deadline of next week. So off we go.
And this time, I actually ordered the food correctly.
Yeah, but what did you do wrong?
We won't talk about that.
No, we will. We will, because you brought it up. David showed up here in Atlanta without any shirts. No shirts. At 6 o'clock in the morning, the only place he could find where he could buy a shirt other than a t-shirt at a Quick Trip was Walmart. So David went and bought two shirts. So, and of course, he was late getting to the opening. So I told everybody.
She sure did.
I did.
You rushed David, over there to tell everybody.
But I did. Now, actually, when I was booting up the computer, the little pop up from where you said, I left my shirts. I had to go to Walmart at 6 o'clock in the morning. That was on the screen. I was like, well, it's here. Let me tell you what happened. David comes in. Everybody's like, nice shirt.
Yeah, I was like, you can't, really?
Yeah, it was a great shirt. And, you know, so we're going to see what David does wrong next time. We might start a pool for the next boot camp to see, you know, how bad it'll be.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I figure I'd liven things up. We'd have a topless boot camp. See what happened. It didn't go well, I guess.
Now, everybody would have left.
Nobody got the memo but me. Everybody would have left. So I was going to, you know, I said when I walked in the room, I was like, my other option other than buying shirts was to, like, you know, blot black spots all over me and be the hippo cow.
That's copyrighted. You can't be that.
Okay. I have to be the hippo pasta moose.
That's right. We're still working with the hippo pasta moose, and I'm working on a name for him. I don't know what we're going to name hippo pasta moose. It could be Consuela. I don't know. But let's get on to today's topic.
All right. So we're going to answer a question that's been asked for hundreds, if not thousands of years, and nobody can really answer it. It's just one of those mysteries. So we're going to answer the question. Donna, you're going to answer the question. Everybody wants to know, does size really matter?
For what we discuss on this podcast, we will continue to say, no, not really. other podcasts may have the same opinion for different reasons. So I shall proceed. The reason that I wanted to bring this into play is there's several layers of things that we're going to touch on here, but we either have these small businesses saying, oh, I'm sure we've got that covered, but nobody really does. Everybody just assumes it, but nobody actually knows what it means, which often they learn at boot camp. Mm-hmm. Holy crap, we don't do all that. We're too small for them to go after us, so that's never going to be a problem. We don't have anything they want. There's a lot of small businesses that don't have patient information or don't keep credit cards they claim. Well, we don't have anything they want. They're not going to come after us. If something happens, we'll just move to so-and-so's house and be fine until the office gets fixed or whatever. We don't have to have a plan. Requirements don't apply to me because I'm too small, I'm too poor, we're just getting started, all of those kind of things. We hear these things all the time from people in these really bad false assumptions about what can happen. But just because small businesses make those assumptions don't mean that larger enterprises actually have it covered either.
Mm-hmm.
Equifax.
Yeah.
So, what I'm saying here, there's just as many disconnects between their perception at the C-suite level or at any level, actually, and the reality of what's really going on. We'll call it, just misunderstandings, but they say the same things. We have it covered, right?
Yeah.
We spend X, so that should cover it. Requirements don't apply to me because we have so much money, clout, we do so much charitable work, we're a nonprofit, we're whatever. Same approach. We only have to worry about checking off the HIPAA and PCI stuff. We don't have to do worry about anything else. That'll take care of us. And we're too big to control it all. So things are just going to happen. We're going to do what we can. All of those are wrong in many cases. Unless you know that you could answer the question of, what's your cybersecurity posture? What's your privacy and security program status? If you could say, well, we have it covered. Here's how we have it covered. We have this team and these people are on the team and this person is responsible for security concerns. This person is responsible for legal, managing employees, and this person over here. So that you actually know those things. If you don't know that, you don't have it covered.
Right.
That's just one woman's opinion.
It's all that matters.
You heard it here. But, we're not just talking about compliance. We always say compliance isn't security and security isn't compliance. Because you can be compliant and not secure.
It's true.
And you can be secure and not compliant. What you want is both. Or at least a really good stab at both. But most businesses look at one or the other and not both. Now, in financial and healthcare, there's certainly a concern. We'll say we hope there is concern about compliance, right?
Right. Yeah, should be.
We hope there is. But we want them to also be concerned about security. And in some cases, they worry about security, but those things that are in compliance, they could be doing and probably should. Unless you're, specifically targeted, it doesn't matter to these hackers, the criminals, they do the spray and pray. It does not discriminate.
It doesn't say.
We're just going to spray it out to email addresses that are big companies that spend a lot of money or that don't have cybersecurity. They just throw it out there and they assume. And believe it or not, even if the big company is doing some things with their employees to prevent it from happening, the small companies are probably not, but they're also doing business with the big companies and they find their way in.
Right. Yeah. It's just the easiest way.
Yeah. If you're looking to get into a company, you don't just go knock on the door, you know. I'm going to break into this building. Do you just walk in the front door? Sometimes you can in a movie. You know, I like the cool stuff that they do, but it's not really in a way that you would go about. You know, it's a great line in the movie. How are we going to break in? We're going to walk right in the front door. But in actuality, from a cybersecurity standpoint, that's what people let you do, is just walk right in the front door.
Yep.
But the bottom line is, based on statistics, reports year after year after year, I mean, we're looking at, you know, 2016, 2017, 2018, the reports are all the same. It doesn't matter what size of the company you are. You got a 50-50 chance you're going to be hit. That's it. Some say that reports will say that small businesses are 60% likely, and others will say 43%. If you 50-50, it's 50-50.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter who you are, what size you are, what you have on file, any of those things, you got a 50-50 chance just getting caught up in a spray and pray episode.
Yeah, I would say it's a lot higher than that. I think the only reason it's 50-50 because a lot of people don't even know they got hit.
True. You're right.
Because we were talking yesterday, there's a CEO that had his email compromised for 2 years before the person finally did something. And basically, yeah, it was compromised for 2 years. And then the criminal sent, you know, an email, because we were dealing with a compromised email. He sent an email to the CFO requesting money. And he did it in such a way that he even made a comment about the CFO's son playing soccer. He knew so much about the CEO because he had been in his email for 2 years that it looked exactly like it came from the guy.
Wow. And what? You got to tell us what happened.
Dun, dun, stay tuned next week. Same. Actually, they didn't, they caught it. There was a couple of reasons why they caught it. Number one is they actually had a separate email domain set up for any kind of transactions. So anything that had to do with transactions didn't go through their primary email domain. So that was the first red flag, because it came from his normal email account, which was compromised. And then the other ones, they had a policy that anything above a certain amount of money required a voice authorization. And so the CFO would have called the CEO anyway and said, I just want to make sure you ask for this.
So, well, then.
It did not happen.
2 years.
Yeah, 2 years. So, you know, he could have easily said, no, I've never had a problem. I've never been compromised. And the whole entire time, he's compromised.
You know, you got a good point there. As they say, and the other thing we're going to talk about here, they don't even know yet if they know how many were compromised in our electrical grid. And, you know, if you're part of the critical infrastructure in the new cyber war that we are literally fighting right now, is a cyber war.
Mm-hmm.
You're part of the critical infrastructure. You are a target. And it doesn't matter at all whether or not you think you are, whether you're large, small, whatever. Critical infrastructure, if you bring down the critical infrastructure of the United States, you have beaten the United States at a game it's not even playing.
Right.
Because we know everybody's not worried about that. That's why we do so much on this show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people, they still don't understand that you are connected to the entire world by that little plug or by the Wi-Fi. You're not connected to, you know, the internet or the cloud or the internal network. I mean, it's the entire world. It doesn't sink in for people.
Well, and when you look at how they do these things, it's the people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
None of what they're doing is this high, complicated technology. There's some of that that goes on. But the part where that comes into play is already past the point that they're in. They use the people to get in, and then the high tech stuff happens once they're in. where they are breaking into everything and doing things with it.
Yeah, and it's there's so many employees that are circumventing the security and doing other things anyway.
Unfortunately, yes.
Yeah, I mean, as you know, we talk about Internet of Things all the time. We talk about people walking in the door, plugging in, you know, the USB fan, send anything else they hand out somewhere.
Oh, good. Yes.
So it's just an ever-changing landscape. It's not, you know, from a security perspective, I can't come in and say, I'm going to secure this and I'll be good because I don't know what's going to walk in the door when I leave.
Well, yeah. Well, you just told me about the speaker that worked at the White House yesterday and what she said about what they had to do walking around the building.
Yeah. So I was listening to Teresa Payton, for any of you who know who that is. I mean, she's a big cybersecurity person, and they had a show last year called Hunted on, I don't remember if it was CBS or whatever. But anyway, it was a pretty cool show.
Yeah. It's pretty interesting. It was here in Atlanta. So.
Yeah. So they had people that were right running from the police or the unit, and they had to find them, which you watching the show was crazy. I was like, wow, they have access to a lot of stuff.
But they went about it too. It's so simple in a lot of ways.
Yeah, but
now, they were using people on Facebook. Their Facebook feeds.
I know. And these people thought, you know, nobody's looking. They're not going to know. It's crazy. But so anyway, she was speaking, and she said that while she was at the White House, they would do. They called them war walks, war walking, war driving, which is a common term for you know some things. But anyway. They would go around to the buildings, the White House, and the other governmental buildings around Washington, D.C. And she said, you would think we'd be looking for, like, you know, hackers, setting up rogue access points and all this kind of stuff. She goes, no, the biggest problem we had was the rogue access points that employees were setting up, specifically interns, because they would be in there and going, I need Wi-Fi for my phone so I can get on Facebook. And it's not in this building, but I know how to make it in this building. I'll just go buy a Wi-Fi access point and set it up. Everybody will have Wi-Fi. It'll be great.
Shadow IT at its best.
I know. And, you know, she flat out said, you would think that the White House would just have, you know, the Fort Knox of IT security. And she goes, no, we're struggling with the same things everybody else because of the same problems. And it's the people, you know, that are doing a lot of the crazy things. And it's hard to keep everything locked down. And she even said the same thing we say. She said that people inside the White House, the hired people that work there, would say, I'm not worried about it. I know Teresa and her team's got it.
Yeah, exactly.
Which it's is the same thing we hear.
It's what I just said. We got it right. We spend all this money. Somebody else has got it. We don't have to worry about it.
Right.
It's not true.
It's like, I got an airbag. It'd be okay if I slam into a tree. It's just fine.
I know. There's a lock on the door. It doesn't matter if I unlock it and let someone in.
I know. There's so many analogies we can do with it. But
I mean, we could go on and on and on. But this is what I'm talking about. It doesn't matter the size. It doesn't matter the level of technology. I mean, if you look at, you know, LifeLock just had a thing that you sent me, and come on, LifeLock.
Yeah, I know. That's kind of bad.
You know, they had a case. It could have been a lot worse. Theirs is not as bad as many of them.
Mm-hmm.
But still, it's, you know, they're under attack, and, you know, somehow something got through.
Yeah, Life Unlocked. No, I don't know.
There, you had to use it. So no matter what, it doesn't matter what size you are. If you're not training your people, and there's only so much you can do with technology, there's just only so much you can do to prevent people from doing things. And when you look at the news that's come out where they are actually talking about the fact that you know, I'm sure very few people believe it, but the Russians had attacked our electrical grid and got all the way in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're talking hundreds of victims, as they quoted it, and they had enough access to actually throw switches in the core power utilities.
That's
throw
scary.
Switches. And there's so many great quotes in the articles about it. Electrical grid attacks, like other hacks, quote, exploit the weakest link in the security chain. the people.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. And they're worried that the Russian hackers have ways to defeat multi-factor authentication, which is, you know, I try to let me, you know, make myself relax a little about things when I have that turned on. But even now, they're looking at, let's not send it to wireless devices. You actually have to have a piece of hardware that you have to keep up with.
Yeah, which that's means,
you know, that's going to need to be implanted in me or my hand or something. I don't know. I won't be able to keep, everybody knows I can't keep up with stuff.
Yeah. And Google's about to actually release their own version of that kind of tool.
Yeah. They've been testing it on their own people and say they haven't gotten hit. But once they published that, it only made them turn harder towards them. But either way, it doesn't really matter what size you are if the people are the ones letting them in.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at the power grid, especially when we look at the power grid and say, you know, regardless of the number of people, regardless of things that are in place, and even the warnings, because Homeland Security has been warning these utilities about potential attacks going back to 2014, which I was, you know, in a presentation where, you know, I've talked about it before, the FBI was there and Secret Service and the military and representatives from the power grids. And at that time, they were talking about all these things they were doing to secure things. But according to some quotes of other people, that they have failed to implement the necessary changes. So DHS went public to embarrass the utilities into taking the needed actions. Timing was on the DHS side with all the Russia media attention. So that's why they came out and started talking about it. Everybody's talking about Russia right now, and they could not get these power companies to work with them. But still, it's not making the news that it should.
I don't know why everybody picks on Russia. You know they didn't do anything.
Oh, shut up.
Somebody's just spoofing their IP address.
I have to. That's like the 20 steps that they used to hack the DNC. They have every detail of how they did it now. They know exactly how it was done down to who. So they know these things on the back end. We're reactive and we need to be proactive. But the point that has to do, you know, with these power grid folks is, first of all, the attackers began by using conventional tools. So they just did spear phishing emails, you know, till they got somebody to trick them into entering their passwords into the network or whatever, but they weren't doing it at the actual power companies or the EMCs. They were doing it at the small companies and the vendors of their vendor network, the supply chain. So they were targeting these small companies. If you're a small business, you could be a target simply because someone you know in your business or that you do business with is a bigger target, a bigger fish. And I try to, like an example I try to give the pediatrics folks is to say, look, imagine this. Let's say that you have a family, a couple of kids, great, you know, you can tell it's very integrated. The grandparents are active with the children, all this stuff. No concern whatsoever on your mind about national defense when it comes to protecting those children's PHI. And I throw in these details. What you don't know is one of the grandparents actually works for a supplier for the Department of Defense.
Mm-hmm.
And how many people do you think who dote over their grandchildren, which would be easy to tell by following them on Facebook or wherever, use their grandchildren's names, nicknames, or dates of birth, which would also be out there on Facebook or many of the other, you know, social media, or if I hack into their email, it'll be everywhere. Mm-hmm. But they use them for passwords. Everybody does it. Everybody knows it. It's pretty common use by these grandparents, and everybody thinks that. So why would your PHI be valuable? Well, we'll steal the whole thing. We can sell it for a boatload of money because we know how valuable healthcare data is, and we pluck out of it the information we want, which is the names and the details about the children whose parents or grandparents work in places that we're interested in. Because guess what? Employers are in there. There's all kinds of stuff in that database. So not only do I get the whole thing, I just pull it all because I don't want anybody to know those are the ones I'm interested in. I sell the ones that I'm not interested in. Well, actually, I sell the whole thing. I get what I want out of it and start my targeting on somewhere else while I make some money off of you.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. There's the small business scenario that's a nightmare because now you've contributed to something that could be detrimental to national security and you don't even know it.
Scurry. You should have saved that for October.
I'll have to come up with something better, you know. So the big point that we're trying to make here is that it does not matter the size of your organization as interconnected as we are. A large organization needs to never assume. A small organization needs to never assume. You must always believe you are under attack right now and that you should be always worried about it. I mean, I don't know about you, David. I'm pretty sure I'm under attack right now somewhere.
Yeah, usually it's family members.
I know. Reference earlier, but
yeah, that's the cool thing about having the, you know, the equipment on your network or something with that actually looks at that. You know, I think I've told this story before, but I had a small, like one doctor chiropractor a few years ago, and you know, he was like, I just don't understand why I need this security. I mean, nothing goes on here. And I pulled up the firewall log, and he was getting hit, you know, over 1,400 times a day with, you know, intrusion attempts. And he was like, oh, I didn't know that was going on. Exactly. You didn't know what was going on. That's the thing. If nobody's looking, nobody knows.
That's right. If you ain't looking, it's boiling over. Guaranteed. So it's a bigger picture that you need to understand you're part of. Just like David said, when you plug into that wall or connect to that Wi-Fi, you're part of the bigger picture instantly. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you store. Somehow you will be valuable to somebody that is a criminal. It just goes without saying.
Yeah.
Well, this is why we go on and on and on about the need to do a risk analysis and risk assessment, because those are so important. They help us identify things and think about these things of what would happen if our power grid shut down for 6 hours, no power whatsoever, for no apparent reason, no bad weather, nothing, all of a sudden, blackout. Mm. What do you do? What if it's down for 2 days? What do you do? That's what incident response, disaster recovery, business continuity is all about, is taking those scenarios and looking at it. What if you have a email compromise? How, you know, and that's the thing now. They're saying BEC, business email compromise, because we have to have an acronym for everything.
Absolutely.
What if your email is compromised? What are you putting in your email? Like David's example, where all of the serious financial stuff, not in those emails. They had them somewhere else. But that thing that drives me nuts, where people say, well, we can email PHI all day long because we have encrypted email. All right, well, do you enforce two-factor authentication? Do you enforce super strong passwords and make them change it? Do you train your people heavily on phishing attacks? If you're not doing those three things, or some combination thereof, you shouldn't be doing PHI, even encrypted. No.
Yeah. I get frustrated with
it. We're just exasperated.
I know it is, because there's so many ways and people just don't even think about any of it. I mean, even if I wanted to get into anybody's network, okay, let's say I can't walk through the front door, which I honestly can.
No, really?
You know, I literally all I have to do is just watch the business. I could go in and say, dude, your office looks nice. Who do you have clean your office? Oh, we have such and such a company. Okay, great. I'm going to go get me a job at such and such company so I can come into your office while you're not there.
Yeah. There's 100 ways. And that's if I'm physically there. Guess what? They can watch the activity of your business all the way around on the other side of the world.
Mm-hmm.
From, you know, a big, brightly lit office. We're not talking about a pimply kid in a dark basement with Mountain Dew piled around him. You know, that's what everybody also often envisions.
And they wear
masks.
Yeah.
Because
you have to wear a mask when you're on the internet doing hacking work.
Yeah, the anonymous. anyway, the important thing to know is, no, size doesn't matter.
Thank gosh.
It does not. You need to be doing the work. The only difference is how you go about it, what decisions you make. That's the only difference between a small business and a large enterprise is the decisions they make. But the things, just like you said, we're worried about the same things at the White House that, you know, you and I worry about on our home network. It's the same kinds of attacks. It's just different volumes, you know, different ability to train, different ability to build your, you know, have a war walk.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, it's not that complex when it's a small business, but then again, it is. Because if you're not thinking about it at all, it is complex. You're just, yeah. You have no idea. You don't know what you don't know. We say it all the time. You've got to get out there and do that risk analysis and risk assessment because it sits you down and makes you think. That's the process. Mm-hmm. It makes you think about what you have and how valuable it is. It makes you think about what you need to do to run your business, how you run your business, and all the things that could go wrong for anybody to not have on their plan of things that are very likely to occur, a power outage, a blackout for a long period of time. That's, you know, based on the news that we just heard, hundreds of victims. It's almost careless to not consider that as a high risk item that you need to have preparation for.
I can buy you some Beanie Weenies. So
saltines.
I got a good one for you, and something people can consider about their instant response plan or disaster recovery plan. So you know how we always talking about in disaster recovery, how, you know, can you set your office up somewhere else should something happen?
Mm-hmm.
Well, a company had VoIP phones, voice over IP phones, and of course, the CEO, among everybody else, had the ability to take the phones and, you know, plug them in anywhere. Anywhere you plug them into the internet, they'll work.
Mm-hmm.
So he decided one day that he was going to work from home. So he takes his phone home and plugs it in, and he's working from home. Something happens in the kitchen. Anyway, the house catches on fire. So he picks up the phone. He dials 911. Guess what? What he didn't realize is the information on the phone is tied to his office. Yep. So everybody goes to his office to put out the fire that's at his home.
See?
So you need to think about it. You need to think about that in your planning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, as soon as you said that, I'm like, oh no, they went to the office.
Yeah. So he's still he's dialing 911 over again. Where are they at? They're on site. What do you mean? No, they're not. Yeah, they are.
They're on site going, where's the fire?
Yeah. So, yeah. Nothing got to him.
Nothing, honey.
Anyway.
But the bottom line we're trying to get at is that everybody, regardless of size, needs to do the risk analysis, risk assessment, so that you think things through and then you build plans. You have the anti-malware plan. You have a patch management plan. You have formal security policies. You do training. This is how you actually prevent yourself from being a big part of the bigger problem and, you know, be at least a small part of the bigger problem. If you get hit, it doesn't go from you to everybody else you do business with.
Yep.
Or everybody else you know. And, you know, we have cases where people will do the absolute right thing, except they won't tell everybody else around them. They think they've handled it. If you don't tell everybody else around you, then everybody else could be having the same problem and they don't catch it.
Yeah.
So it's just little things that we're not talking, teaching people to share information with the people in the room next to them is not expensive.
No.
You know, that's not high tech. But those are the things that you want to make sure that your people know. You want to make sure that your people know if they're using their phones at home, that it will treat it like you're at the office. That's the whole point. And more of this is as we have the ability for technology, because it's growing incrementally now. You know, it's like you mentioned with the Internet of Things and all of this. It's like back in the day, at one point, we would have, none of us thought that every single car would have a remote control to unlock it.
Mm-hmm.
And now, if somebody takes you to their car and they don't have one, they apologize. You know what I'm saying? I mean, yeah. Somebody apologized to me. I can't do that. So you're just going to have to wait until I reach over, and I don't even have power locks.
You know, I have to reach over to roll the window down.
Yeah, I reach over and unlock it. And you just don't think about how different that is from when, you know, even when I was in college, you know, it was not common that you would have power locks and, you know, power steering was the cutting edge thing then. For those of you who've ever driven without power steering, you really get how cutting edge it was.
I know.
But the bottom line is that things are growing incrementally and sometimes you don't even notice it. Mm-hmm. If you aren't thinking about what you have to protect and what things can go wrong when things happen and you don't even notice it, you won't even think about that. So it's that paranoia. We don't want you to be insanely paranoid. Like, you know, we have created some monsters. I won't go into who, but they are on my team. After listening to me all the time, now they're super paranoid about everything, and we have to bring them down from the ceiling every now and then.
Well, that's kind of the next phase. If we can get people to be diligent at home as well as at the office.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, well, that's a ways down the road, probably.
Well, you know, it's part of the training program idea that we talk about over and
yeah.
over.
Yeah. But, I mean, back to the training part real quick. You said, you know, about getting people next to you in the office or in the next office over. It's amazing how much gossip you'll hear in an office or in the cubicles or whatever. But then when somebody gets a ransomware or, you know, something that could have been bad and they don't fall for it, you know, they don't say anything.
Nah.
It's like, mm-hmm. This is the time you probably should have said, hey, I just got a phishing email. Be on the lookout.
Well, you know, now that we test people,
mm-hmm.
we do get more people saying that. You know, what was it that you called it? The prairie dog thing?
Yeah. Everybody pops their head up.
Pops their head up out of their little cubicles and like, fishing. The fishing test. Don't fall for it.
They're fishing us. They're fishing us.
I was at a meeting and this woman walks past me and she goes, she's one of our clients, and she goes, you've been testing us, haven't you? I'm like, are you angry? You know, I didn't know what was the thing. And I was like, yes. I just wanted to let you know I haven't fallen for it. And turned and walked away.
I haven't fallen for it. But I'll get you, my pretty.
That's the point. That's the point. Now I should target her. But that is the actual point of what we're doing, is trying to have that level of awareness. The more people are aware, the less likely you become that victim. And we just got to take them to that next level of, well, you know, in IT, everybody talks about threat sharing. That's just simply telling all of your friends what you found or what hit you.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we used to do it when we were kids, right? Be like, don't go out with that girl. She's crazy.
No, I'm not even going to touch that one because there's so many things I could say in response. And none of them would make it through our internal FCC.
All right, then. I guess we'll end it right here. We're done.
David always has a way of ending it.
All right, thanks, folks, for listening to today's show. If you like it, share it out. If you don't like it, share it out. Either way.
Can you believe this crap?
I know. Don't forget to hit a boot camp. Sign up early. Sign up often. Send a bunch of people. Actually, don't send a bunch of people. We have a limited number, so it'll fill up quick. Go to thehippabootcamp.com to learn more and to get your tickets early. So remember, for Donna and myself, the HIPAA is not about compliance. It's about patient care.
You've been listening to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast, hosted by Donna Grendel and David Sims, the show created to help you with HIPAA. For more information or to ask us a question, visit our website at helpmewithhipaa.com. Neither Donna Grendel or David Sims are attorneys, and they do not offer binding legal advice concerning regulatory compliance. The information in this podcast should not be relied upon or construed as legal advice in any way. Consult your attorney for legal advice concerning compliance with HIPAA regulations.